Thank you guys for doing that video. That's awesome. Thanks for the announcements and all. Thank you again for joining us on Father's Day. What I thought we'd do today is do a little bit of a panel and ask these guys some questions. Of course, we have Pastor Nick, our Worship Creative Arts pastor.
Hello.
And then Pastor Jerry, our Kids and Family pastor. Pastor Jeremy.
No greeting of the people.
Hello.
Pastor
New here and already unprepared.
Okay, he's our youth and fun guy.
Hello.
So, are you guys going to all do the blood drive coming up in July?
I didn't know about it.
We have a blood drive coming up on the 31st of July. Plan ahead, but I was just seeing you guys and thinking about this. It'd be funny if we're all laying there on a table at the same time and just like this. Yeah, not like that. All right. Well, here's, you know, being Father's Day, you know, one of the things we talk about and think about as we're planning services, you know, I know that we all have fathers. So whether you're male or female, and a lot of times it seems like Mother's Day turns into Women's Day and Father's Day, Dad's Boys Day or whatever. But we were curious, you guys as pastors, and just you guys as fathers and guys that are sons, just some perspectives from you today. So I'm just curious, tell us a little bit about your experience with your dad. Why don't we start with Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy?
Well, so I know these guys, so my dad experience is different than theirs but my story is like, my dad is a great father, and he was present. He was a great example in my life. Like, I'll never forget, like, even as young boys, my brother and I, we would be riding in a truck, like, four deep in the bench seat in the front, which is illegal now, and without seat belts. But we would always have someone in the truck with us, and he would always do this, like, hey, do you see these two boys right here? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, these are the best two boys in the whole world. And as a little kid, I'm like, That's right. You think your dad's the greatest, and it just, my dad was a great dad. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
All right. For me, I would call it two major chapters in my life. Growing up, I had a very difficult relationship with my father. It was semi-abusive. It was difficult. He was an alcoholic. I didn't really have a good example by which to follow. And I grew up pretty angry, pretty mad at life. Like, it's, you know, I didn't understand. But then the second chapter is a lot more beautiful. So between 7 and 8 years old, there was a big shift. My father came to a fork in the road, and he had to make a decision of whether or not he wanted to continue a relationship with his family or be alone. And through my mother's acts of pushing him, he at that point decided that I'm going to really pursue this relationship with Jesus and try to discover what that is. And I'm so thankful that he made that choice, because now we're living a good life. I have a good relationship with my dad. We've healed. Things have become right and good. I'd never dreamed that I would be a pastor. Here I am today. And as kind of what Pastor was sharing earlier with us is, you know, we are fashioned and we are made and we are who we are today. I am who I am, not because of the great times, but also because of the difficult times. It causes you to persevere. It causes you to look for something that's good. And I discovered that through Jesus. My father discovered that through Jesus.
It's awesome.
So I also grew up with a really great dad, and he was my stepdad. And the interesting thing about his story and my story is that my mom and my dad were actually like childhood friends, high school sweethearts, dated each other, but then went their separate ways to college because my dad was out on a hunting trip. They broke up over that whole thing, which is really funny. But anyway... They went their separate ways. Both of them had families, and then were both divorced and met again when I was 5 years old. So I grew up with my stepdad being my dad. He and my mom got married, reconnected essentially a couple decades later after they had been high school sweethearts. And so my stepdad raised me. He was an amazing guy. I had such an incredible relationship with him, but most of you actually when you hear me talk about my dad, that's who I'm talking about, my stepdad. Some of you have met him. He passed away 6 years ago from cancer, which was a really rough spell, but just really thankful for his imprint on my life. So one funny story, kind of like Jeremy's story there. when I was a kid, and we'd go around, I'd obviously, you know, most kids try to emulate their parents and do things, and I would try to tell jokes like my dad and things like that. And anyway, I remember being several different places, and people, you know, people say things about parents and kids and everything, but they would say, "Boy, Paul, you can't deny that one, can ya?" And they would, you know, laugh as if to say, "Boy, that boy is totally yours," which was true from my perspective, and I was always proud of that. So
that's really cool. Well, let me, you know, a lot of times as fathers, you have, talking about you are who you are because of the imprint of your father or whatever. What kind of, how did you direct your kids in their faith? How did you do that? Or what have you done to be a spiritual leader in their lives? You don't have to go in the same order, but you can. Go ahead.
Okay, I can go. Like, I want my kids to see that I not only to preach about my faith and I talk about my faith from a stage a lot of times, but I want them to see that I live it at home too. And like Kristen and I, like, we love the church. We love our church, and we want our kids to love it too. And I understand that a lot of times that there are unneeded pressures of being pastor's kids. There's a lot of pressures of being a pastor's kid, and because I was one, and I know what that's like. And of course, we encourage them and we push them to be followers of Jesus, and we push them in their faith, and we push them to step out and to lead and to do different things. But we never want them, our kids, to resent the church or resent their faith in any way. We want them to embrace it like the beautiful, ugly mess that it is, that the people of the church is. And I'm talking about me too, so not just you. But two, we try to have honest conversations with our kids about our faith and just about life and about things that are going on. And we have always had, from a young age, we tried to have just open conversations about anything and everything. It's an open door in our home, and you won't be punished or ridiculed or criticized for asking a serious question or a deep question that may be something they need clarified on or something they need to understand. Like, and so that's how we've really tried to help develop our, like, we've tried to do like family devotions at times, and it's just a train wreck every time. And it's just, it runs, it's pretty rough at times, but we tried to really be intentional with our kids and with the moments that we do have and in our teaching, and how to love the Lord. So
let's mix it up. Pastor Nick.
We had a train wreck last night, actually, trying to do family devotions.
Yeah.
Me and the boys. It wasn't Tanner.
Okay.
It was not Tanner.
Okay.
One of my other sons. So those of you who know me well enough know which one that was, because I only have two.
He's running.
He's running.
Oh, no.
Is he here?
Oh, no.
There he is, way over there. Hi, Ellis.
Oh, shoot. Oh, no.
Oops. One of the things that I really struggle with, I try to make like everything a lesson. It's just kind of my personality. I'm always, I wouldn't say, obviously I'm not a teacher by trade, but I think that there's that teaching element in my personality. And so I'm always like trying to turn every scenario into a lesson. You know, like we were watching a movie last night, and you know, the first 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, guys, what are we learning already about this? And I have to fight against that, because I don't want my kids to think everything that they do or everything that we do together is like just everything is like training for the rest of life. We know obviously that it can be, but I try not to make that the case. My dad was really good by just living a godly life in front of me, and I think that I gained more by just being with him and spending time with him, and taking lessons away from just doing life together than I ever did like a talk. You know, I can't remember, outside of maybe a handful of talks that we had, I can't remember any just huge lessons, because the majority of them and the majority of things I learned were just from doing life together. And so you know, Brittany and I have really worked at working on our hearts. And, you know, my tendency is to try to shape every single situation. But really what that is trying to control behavior. And ultimately, we know that behavior is just an overflow of your heart. And so I think the more valuable lesson, and what I've always prayed over all our kids all the time, is that their hearts would be for the Lord, that they would have a heart for the Lord. And so, you know, I think about Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so my goal is always, you know, to really try to just lead a godly example in front of our kids, and really to try to make that the biggest motivation for them to have faith, and a solid faith in life is to just lead by that example. So,
yeah, that's good. For us, it's always been I've led my kids by telling them, you're a leader. For us, it's either you're leading positively or negatively. I've asked them questions. Are we being a good example or a bad example? And obviously we filter that through God's word, and you know, lean on Proverbs a lot with our kids. But it's really just considering them to weigh, are you being the example that you should be? Are we filtering that through Christ? Do we understand our relationship with Christ so that we can be that good example? And it's been a huge challenge for our kids in different aspects, because a lot of people could just say, well, I'm not a leader, Dad. You know, you out there, you could probably have conversations with your dad. Well, I'm not a leader. And I always tell my kids, you are. It's whether or not you're going to be positive or negative. Are you going to take the lead, or are you going to sit back and follow on? So I always challenge my kids, get out there and lead. Get out there and be that example. We need to be the example that this world needs to see. And so I always challenge that to my kids. And kind of like Nick was saying a few years ago, those of you that know Riley, you know she's kind of she's outgoing here at the church, but she's an introvert. You may not know that, but she's actually an introvert. But many times when I would lead in conversations and trying to teach them a moment, it was the whole eye roll of, oh, here we go. Dad's going to preach again. He's going to use something to preach to us about something. So, last few years I've been transitioning and changing how I talk with my kids and encourage them and things like that. So
that's good. That's good.
So, putting all that together a little bit, what are some things you've learned from your experience with your fathers that have shaped you today?
I've got three things.
Wow.
I actually wrote some notes about this. Sort of three things I think that were really important, and I'll kind of give them in reverse order. But first of all, I know that my dad absolutely loved me. And I think that was always important for me as a young man to know that my dad loved me. He invested time in our relationship through every phase of my life. When I was a kid, we spent tons of time together doing things, and even into my adult years, Dad was always a part of my life as much as he could be. Mom and Dad were at our house a lot. They were invested in Brittany and I's relationship. They were invested, obviously, in our kids' lives. And so I never had a doubt in my mind that my dad loved me. And I think the cool thing about that was he was my stepdad. So, like, he actually chose me, which was kind of cool, too. Like, you know, we get the kids we get if you give, you know, if you're a biological parent. But I always thought it was cool that my dad actually chose me. So, the second thing is my dad absolutely loved my mom. He was crazy about my mom. And I think that the cool thing about that was, you know, that provided stability in our home. There was never any doubt that Dad was going anywhere. We knew that if for nothing else, he was always going to be there for my mom. And that just provided like this stability in our home that there's no substitute for that. I always had such comfort in knowing that my dad was crazy about my mom, and then also to see the joy that produced in my mom. It just provided this level of joy in our home and contentment in our home to know that they were together as one. And I think that if if I can just offer a challenge, I think dads, if you really want to invest in your kids, you need to invest in your marriage. You need to invest in your spouse and make that relationship a priority, because that will provide an environment for your kids to thrive. And so I think that seeing my dad love my mom in that way has always been encouraging to me as a child, but then also a challenge as a man to love Brittany that way, to provide that kind of environment for our kids. And then finally, my dad absolutely loved the Lord. His devotion to God was evident through the time that he spent with him in prayer, through his commitment to the church, through his generosity. I mean, it was evident not only in our home, but to those that we interacted with as a family as well, to our community. Everybody knew that dad had a relationship with the Lord. He was a godly man. And so I think that those things, his love for me, his love for my mom, and his love for the Lord really just have been a challenge to me throughout life.
Okay.
For me, it was just, you know, like I said earlier, my dad making a choice. You know, and when he made that choice to clean up his act and get things straight and get things right, basically stop being selfish, that you have others that you need to provide for, others that you need to take care of. I think when he literally became a man before my eyes, that helped me. That helped me understand, wow, this is what love is. He actually, kind of like Nick said, he chose. He could have stayed on the bottle. He could have done other things, but he chose, I'm going to clean things up and get things right. And for me, that formed a crucial thinking in my mind of, okay, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And patterning that and seeing that in a flesh, in the world, that's how I could see it in an earthly father. And how can I have that deep devotion and love for my kids? And so through the negative and the positive, it brought me to a point where I want to love my kids in such a way that by the end of my father role, meaning at the end of my life, I don't want to look back and have regrets that I didn't give them my all. That, you know, I don't want to have a situation where they get second rate or second best. And that's a fight. It's difficult. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It's still difficult. You have to make a choice to be in their life. I'm navigating difficulties right now. My kids are becoming young adults and trying to navigate that. What's that look like? How can I be their father? What do they need now? Gosh, they're changing. So what they needed 10 years ago isn't the same. And so I learned adaptation from my father. I got to change and be okay with flexibility.
Yeah, I like what you said, Nick, though. You said one of the best things that I can do as a dad is love my wife well. Because that they see that example, and one of these days they're going to grow up to be husbands and a wife, and they're going to, the example that they, how they lead in their home will be the example that I set with my wife, and that's so valuable, that's so important. Like, I know for me in my life, my dad was one of my biggest cheerleaders in my whole life. Like, I could get arrested tomorrow and he'd be like, that's my boy, you know, like, and like he's just so proud of us. And like, but we have to remember that when it comes to parenting, like, more is caught than it is taught. And you have to watch what you say, and you have to watch what your kids hear in your home, and because that's what they learn, and that's how they develop to be young men and young women, is what is caught and what's taught. And I know for me, like, I grew up, my dad was a pastor, and I grew up in a pastor's home, and I remember that as a kid, you don't really grasp that. You think that being a pastor is just your dad's job. And I remember that when it became real for me that it wasn't just my dad's job, is when I came home one day and I saw my dad reading his Bible, and it wasn't just for to study for the next sermon. It was because he wanted to get closer to the Lord, and I was like, for me, that's just when it kind of came real for me that my dad, he's not just a pastor, he's a Christian too. That he loves Jesus too. Or there'd be times that we'd be driving down the road and I could see his lips moving, and I'm like, you trying to say something, Dad? He goes, nah, I'm just praying. You know, we would travel a lot. You know, we did ministry as family, and he would just be praying driving down the road. And I'm like, I remember as a little kid, like, being so impactful for me to see that my dad didn't just preach about it, didn't just talk about it, but he lived it as well. And that's the kind of dad that I want to be. I just want to live it in front of my kids, not just talk about it.
I like that it's caught, not taught. Somebody should post a picture of Pastor Jeremy today on social media with that line in there and tag the church and him. There you go. Go ahead.
Let's go back to Pastor Jeremy here. What are some things that you learned that maybe you didn't anticipate that you've discovered of being a father?
Well, I can tell you this. Becoming a father kind of challenged me to be more responsible. Like, I was a dad for the first time at 23 years old. And I remember being at, like, the hospital when Jackson was born and they handing him to me for the first time. And I'm like, at the first time, it's like, I'm a dad. And you're all excited. And then you're like, I'm a dad. And you're like,
I'm a dad? Yeah.
Like, they're going to trust me to take this thing home? Like, and so I was scared to death, had no idea what I was doing. And, like, but in that moment, I learned real fast that my children will bear the blessing or the burdens of my decisions. And so immediately it challenged me to want to be a better person, to want to be a better man, to want to be a better husband to my wife. And I knew that the world is going to throw them so many obstacles in their lives that I didn't want to be one of those obstacles. So for me, my faith really matters. Like, my words really matter. My character and my morals in life really matters. And like, one of my greatest goals in life is that my kids grow up to love the Lord and to serve their local church. And Kristen and I, we're not perfect. We're not perfect parents. And we know and we realize that our kids aren't going to be perfect either. But man, I want them to love the Lord. Right. And that's the end goal. I don't care what they become. If they become pastors or missionaries or working just a regular job, as long as they love the Lord, that's what I care about.
How about you, Pastor Nick?
I think for for me, one of the things that I learned early on was that parenting is like the extreme of every emotion. You know, like leading up to becoming a parent, you experience things in life and, you know, there's some highs and lows or whatever. But once you become a parent, I think that it makes all of those things even deeper or larger. And I'll never forget like the earliest days of Brittany and I being at home with Violet. Obviously, your first kid, everybody knows it's an experiment. You don't know what you're doing. Oh, man. You've never done that before. And so you just try things. Some parents were the ones that were like really strict by the rules. They're going to like have them on a schedule. They're going to lay them down, you know, and never rock them to sleep, all that kind of stuff. And we weren't that way. We were pretty easygoing with the schedule, and we were going to take our time and rock Vi to sleep and kind of enjoy those moments. But then, you know, that eventually it gets to the point where you're ready to lay them down. You want them to go to sleep. But how many of you remember what it's like when you're sitting there, it seems like for hours, and you just get them to sleep, and then you kind of go over and you, like, get ready to, like, lay them in the bed, and as soon as their back hits there, they're like, wah, you know, like, screaming again. I remember, like, those moments when you're so exhausted, you're like, worn out completely, and you're stressed out because you're just, again, you're just trying stuff at this point. But I remember I experienced, like, more anger and mad stuff when I was early on in those parenting days than I ever did. But you know, the cool thing is that all of that stuff, you tend to forget it all, because the joy that your kids bring, and the opposite is so true in your life. Like, just watching our kids, obviously, you know, they're not fully grown yet. Vi's 14, and you know, watching her be up here on this stage and play along with the worship and seeing Tanner and Ellis grow and develop through their stages and stuff like that, it brings more joy than I ever imagined I would have as a parent. And so I think it's like extremes, and I just didn't expect that, you know?
Yeah.
Quick poll in the room. How many of you guys are the oldest child? Like, you were the experiment.
You were the experiment.
Yeah. I'm the youngest of six, and by that time, they were like,
youngest of six, too.
You just do it.
You'll be all right. Yeah. You can pick it up off the floor.
You can eat dirt, boogers, and bugs. Yeah.
Yep.
That's
what. Well, Pastor Jerry, what did you learn you didn't anticipate?
So for me, I'm raising adultagers now. So, adultagers. So I've got teenagers that think they're adults. And so we're right at that age where they think they've got it, right? And that's been glorious because I'm like, hey, we're raising them to be leaders, and now I got leaders. But no, for us, the thing that I didn't anticipate is as they've become teenagers, I've had to shift the way I parent. And we've come to a point where I'm actually shifting more into coaching than I am parenting. And so what that means is instead of correcting them or protecting them from a situation, I'm allowing them to go through the situation, and then we have questions and follow-up. So we talk through, well, how did that work? What decisions did you make? Was it good or bad? What was the outcome? And so I'm slowly shifting my parenting, because here's why. I've experienced kind of Pastor Nick's clever with his words, and so he fashioned it as hero to zero. I felt like in their young years, as a father, we're looked at as their hero, right? Totally. But there's at some point, we aren't necessarily the only authority they have in life. So we're at an age where our kids are looking to Google, right, to find answers. And so I've got to make sure that I'm coaching them when they're looking at those answers. First of all, careful what you look at, right? But also helping them filter, you know, well, what are we doing with this information that we're given? Another situation that I've had to deal with is that I'm not the only one that speaks into their life, and I love that. That's great, because I've tried to help them, encourage them in surrounding themselves with good leaders, good people around them. And I know that being at a healthy, vibrant church does that. It helps facilitate that, making sure that they're making the right choices with who they choose to be friends with. So making sure that the peer pressure they have is positive peer pressure. Making sure that their friends are good friends, not just someone with words, but someone that has actions behind it as their friends. And so through all of that, it's really been a transition for us in this adult looking forward scenario that I want to raise leaders. So therefore I'm going to transition how I parent them into a coaching scenario, asking them, challenging them to think about what they're doing, not just a corrective.
I love that. Pastor Nick mentioned a verse a minute ago. Jerry, do you have any verses?
So Proverbs 22:6, direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. That has been one that's been grounded in me as you know what, I'm going to do the best I can to rear them in a relationship with God. And after that, I'm just going to trust the Lord in it. I'm going to trust that the Lord is going to guide them and direct them. The right people are going to be in their path, and we'll move forward, and it's going to be good.
Pastor Nick, did you have another verse? You've already shared a verse. We don't need to, you know.
Well, I don't have to share another one.
Okay.
I have lots of verses, though. There's a bunch of them.
Okay. Are you going to share one, or are you going to leave us hanging?
Do you want me to?
Mm-hmm, I do.
This is a verse that I've been harping on for a couple of weeks, and it's all about the heart issue. But the worship team knows this because we've been talking about it a lot. But Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And I know that that's kind of a stretch for a parenting verse per se. But the thing is, like, again, talking about our hearts as opposed to behaviors. Our goal is to delight ourselves in the Lord. You know, a couple weeks ago when I first shared this with our team, I talked about how we delight ourselves in all sorts of things. And I used my relationship with Brittany, for example. I delight in that relationship. I absolutely love her and our relationship together. And so I invest time, I invest energy, I invest my resources in that relationship. And there are lots of things in life that we delight in, but again, our delight should be in the Lord first. And we often think of that verse as like this equation, like if you delight in God, then He'll let you have whatever it is that you want in your heart. But it's not that way, because essentially God transforms our heart. When we delight ourselves in Him, all of a sudden everything about us, our whole being is devoted toward the Lord and toward that relationship. And so when we have the desires of our heart, it's because our heart desires Him and it desires good things. And so anyway, that's another one of those verses about our hearts. I think it's so important to remember.
Yeah, for me too, as a young age, Psalm 119:9-11, you know, when I was struggling and trying to figure out where do I guide myself? What is, you know, are there mentors in my life? I was looking for mentors, and one mentor came into my life and sent me down Romans Road and just encouraged me in God's word. And I realized early on, I was like, man, life verses are very valuable. And 119:9, I discovered this as a young boy, and I was like, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That was monumental for me as a teen, because I was looking for, how can I become this man of God that everybody says I should be, and it's a desire that I want to be, but how? And I realized at that age that that verse right there, those verses spoke to me of, man, for me to get there, to be on that path, means that I need to be hiding God's word in my heart. For me to be something different from this world means that I've got to be intentional in how I'm leading my life. And I learned as a teenager that the Bible is not just another book on the shelf, that it is alive, that it is a well, that it can change my life for the better. And I want to make sure that I'm at that example. I want it to be that example for everyone around me. And so I knew for me to lead a different life than my father did, for me to not have a life of regrets, meant that I need to be a different me. And the only way for me to be good, like the Father says above, was to really live out his word. So I needed to hide it in my heart so that the actions that came forth looked like that of this of the Bible and not of this world.
Pastor Jeremy?
These two guys just took everything I was going to say, so.
That's what happens when you speak last. All right,
we can move on.
Let's do this. I have a question here, like, how do we then, what do we take from this, and how do we relate then to our earthly fathers, and even as those as fathers, you know, what do we take home from that? How do we relate to our earthly fathers?
I'll go first this time.
Yeah, go ahead.
But we see the image of the father all throughout the scriptures. And we see the importance of that father figure and dads. And the role of the father is to be the priest of the home. Not like collar and like that kind of priest. But like to lead your home. It's to be the priest of home. And that means that it's the role of the dad to set the spiritual temperature of your home. And set the spiritual formation of the people who are in it. Now the father is in partnership with the wife, but he's the one who assumes that responsibility. And it's also like I like what Pastor Jerry said a little bit ago. It's also kind of the role of the dad to be the life coach, and to coach not only set them up spiritually, but to set them up in other areas of life. Like my dad didn't just prepare me spiritually, but he prepared me for life too. And like, has anybody ever like worked with your dad like on a project and you were the flashlight holder?
Oh yeah.
Like you can't hurt my feelings now because I've been the flashlight holder for my dad. And like I've been called dummy, my whatever for, and you know, so like, but like that doesn't sound good. My dad's awesome, by the way. But like for real though, like
hope like, he doesn't watch this later.
Yeah, sorry, Dad, if you're watching this later.
We love you, Dad.
But we've been the flashlight holder for Dad, and like it's taught me different things. It's taught me perseverance. It's taught me to develop tough skin. It's taught me all kinds of stuff. And I actually didn't learn how to work on the car. I learned how to hold a good flashlight still. And so, but it's really been a shaping and developing thing in my life.
Okay. Yeah. Pastor Jerry, how has that taught you to relate? Like, how do we relate to dads because of what you...
Honestly, be humble. Stay humble. You know, with my experience going through learning, studying God's word, I'm compelled to, no matter what happens in my life, he is pointing us to be compassionate, to be merciful, to be... people that when we see our surroundings, we got to filter it through Jesus's life. What did he do? How can we pattern ourselves after him? It does not mean that we won't make mistakes. I make mistakes daily. My kids would be the first to tell you. But they also know that I'm a father that loves the Father, that I'm a father that's desiring to be an example for them like he is for me. And my hope is that I've communicated to my kids with my words and my actions that I love him and that I want them to love him the same. And they've seen it. We've had so many intimate conversations about difficult things in life. They've seen Tracy and I love each other. They've seen Tracy and I fight. They've even recently, but what we know or hope that we've communicated to them and shown them is that we also make up. We also make sure that we come back together and we clean things up. Like the life that we live is real and raw before them. And so we've also tried to make sure that we haven't just said it's all good, it's all beautiful, it's all wonderful, because it's not always that way. But it is amazing if we pattern it after Christ. And so, again, my biggest filter has been no regrets. I do not want to look back at my life and have a mountain of regrets. And I know that for me to not have that means that I have got to live like Christ. And I want my kids to believe that I live that way. It's more important for me to know that my wife and my kids know that I have a relationship with Christ that's true and real than you. And I know that if they see that, you're going to see that. And I know that if they believe that, then I am living that true Christian father life that I should be.
On a little bit lighter note, my dad used to always come up with these like clever sayings and everything, and he would always say, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape." And that's been a challenge to me in life because, again, if you know me very well, you know that I can be a little uptight. I can be a little particular. There are some things that I care about, and my dad has always challenged me just to kind of chill out a little bit and just roll with the punches from time to time and just relax. And that was my dad's way about going through life, was just to be flexible. And so that was always a challenge to me. The other thing, just really quickly, this story, my dad was just really gracious and grace-filled with everybody. He got along with everybody. I mean, there was really not any relationship that he had difficulty in. But I think about a time when I was a teenager, and I was kind of going through my wild phase early on in life. And so I had buddied up with this group of friends, and we started drinking like early in high school days. And there's a point to this. Don't be judging me. But anyway, I'll never forget. I was 16 years old, and I had been going to these several parties that I had attended, and we were drinking and a couple of friends together. And anyway, this other friend of mine, his mom had heard about this, and she was upset. And I knew that he had gotten in trouble this one particular week. Well, we were on our basketball team. We were sitting there during the game, and I'm looking up in the stands. It was an out-of-town game, but his mom was there, and I saw her walk over and sit next to my parents during this game. I thought, oh, no. Like, this is probably not going to go well. So game finishes up. I ride the bus home with the team, and you know, I got my stuff out of the locker room, went outside, and my car's gone. And I'm like,
oh, no.
Well, that's weird. So back in the day, I went to the payphone, stuck my quarter in, and I called the house, and dad answers, and I was like, hey, my car's gone. Do you know where my car is? He's like, yeah, I've got your car, son. And I was like, okay, well, I was going to go with my other friend. We were going to go to his house and do this, whatever. And he said, you know, son, I think it'd be good if you came on home. And he said, I'll come get you. And I was like, no, that's okay. I'll get a ride home. I'll be right there. But, you know, the whole ride home, I'm thinking, oh, great, what am I in for? But dad was essentially like, come home, okay? And so I remember walking in the house, and mom and dad were waiting in the living room. Which I was like Jeremy. I was the youngest of six. My parents, they were done by the time I came around. So most of the time I woke them up when I got home. But they were in the living room waiting for me. And I'll never forget, I sat down, and my parents, as lovingly as you can imagine, just said, hey, we love you. We want you to do better than this. We know that we've raised you to make better choices than this, better decisions. Don't do that again. And I was like, okay, I won't. And I never did. So I think for me, had they put me in this scenario where they like scolded me and, you know, like raked me over the coals for my behaviors or really made me feel shameful for my decisions, I think that my path maybe could have been differently. But they, in that moment, I never questioned their love for me, the fact that I was theirs. And so seeing the way that my dad was so full of grace in my life and offered that has been a challenge to me when I see others struggling in life. Try not to judge, you know, you could just as easily be in their shoes, but let's offer grace, let's offer love, and just love people the way that they deserve and treat them the way they deserve to be treated. And so I think that that always made a difference for me in my life. And so on that note, Pastor Dennis just reminded me of something that I had wanted to mention. So again, when I talk about my dad, I'm always talking about my stepdad. And I mean, he raised me. That was the majority of my life. But I do have a biological dad, and I don't talk about that relationship that often just because I wasn't raised with him. And you know, I basically just see him in the summertime on occasion, and many years went by where I didn't see him at all. And we never had a strained relationship in that we were fighting or anything like that, but there just wasn't much of a relationship there to begin with. And our lives were very different in terms of choices. But I think that the point that I really want to make is that right now at this age of in my life, you know, I'm 40 years old. My dad and I, my real dad, finally have probably more of a relationship than at any point in life. And I think that, you know, even though our lives still look nothing alike, we live very different lives and have made very different choices in life. The grace that my dad offered to me and extended to me has been a challenge to me to extend that same grace to him. You know, he made a decision at one point to step away from our family, and I'm sure it was a rough choice for him. But knowing that, again, that I have been offered grace in my life, I've tried to extend that same, and that has helped me, I think, to build a relationship with him at this point. You know, it's still not perfect. You know, we don't talk every day. We don't hang out. You know, it's not like that at all. But we have made incredible efforts toward it having a better relationship, and I will say that it's better at this point in life than it ever has been. And so here I am at 40, and I'm just now really beginning to experience a relationship with him. And I want to challenge some of you. You might be later on in life, and you might not have the greatest relationship with a parent, but you can start today. You can make changes in that relationship. And I think that it will do all of us it'll do us a lot of good to offer grace to others. The last thing I'll say about that is that even though I was raised with a stepdad who was amazing and really fulfilled everything I needed in life in terms of that role, the fact that my biological dad was there and I didn't have a relationship always felt like somewhat of a hole. And I think that that's the case. Anytime there are strained relationships in our lives, there's a void there because we were created for relationship. And I don't think it's God's plan or desire for us to have these strained or broken relationships in our lives. And it doesn't mean you're going to be best friends with everybody. It doesn't mean you're going to have the greatest relationship with both parents at all times. But I think that our goal in life should always be to pursue and to try as much as possible, because I think that's the example that Christ gave to us.
Yeah. I did have, you asked about a verse earlier. I did have a verse, but it also goes right along with what Pastor Nick just shared. And I know, like, our time's running short, but
it's
actually
they're,
two verses. You guys aren't bored yet, are you? Oh, you are. Oh, man. So, well, look at the time. I'm going to take my time. Okay.
Ella said yes.
Nobody asked you. Deuteronomy 3:16, it says this. I will never leave you or forsake you. And then again in Hebrews 13:5, he says the same thing. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And the reason why is because there may be a lot of you in the room today who are kind of lacking a father figure today. And so let that be a reminder to lean on the Lord. Let it be a reminder to lean on the Lord. Like, you may be lacking in your natural family, but you have a family of choice, and that's the body of Christ. And you can choose to be here and choose to apply yourself. That's why it's so important that you come to small groups, that you're involved in our connect groups, that you're involved in the church, that you're involved in many different things. Like, my dad was a fantastic dad. He was a great dad. But there are some things that other men in the church taught me. Like, there's a man in the church who he gave me one of my first jobs. I worked cement. Like, don't do that. But I worked cement for this man and for 2 summers, and he taught me the value of really hard work. Kent Hellberg was a great man of God that I could admire and look up to. Like, Tracy Fitzgerald and Doug Everard were men who spoke into my life and who helped me be a better youth pastor because I learned from them. That's why it's so important to be involved. Like, and because the involvement of men in this room speaking into the life of another man or a young man can change the trajectory of a young man's life. And like I've given as a youth pastor, because I have my own kids in my youth ministry, I've given permission for other men that I admire and I respect that I know to speak into my kids' lives. Like, I love David North. And I've given David North permission to speak into my son's life. Like, even when Rex Petrie was here, I love Rex, and I gave him permission to speak into my kids' lives. And I was actually looking through my son's phone the other day, but he doesn't know it. But no, we have access. We have this open door policy. Anyways, I was looking through his phone the other day, and I love, like, he got a text not long ago from Trayson Woods and just asking, hey, how have you been in the Word? Have you been reading your Bible? And I love that I have men in our church family, in our godly family, who can speak into the lives of our kids and who can help in ways where I may lack at times.
You know, as a pastor and pastors, not just this service, but every service, as we plan and think about and pray about what God wants to speak to people, one of the things that we're always thinking about is, you know, how is this going to meet somebody's needs who's a single mom? How is this going to meet somebody's needs who's in high school or middle school? How is this going to meet someone's needs who are past those years and maybe in their twilight years? And as we think about Father's Day, I know, again, all of us have different experiences. You know, each one of these descriptions isn't my experience with my father, and probably isn't exactly like yours. But our prayer has been that some of that relates. And maybe you, like me, my dad passed away a year ago March. And the 5 years previous, he had struggled with Alzheimer's, so he didn't speak. And then the years before that, you know, I remember the day when we were talking on the phone, and he just kept pausing, and I could hear my mom in the background, Bob, Dennis is on the phone, say something, you know, and answer him. And those years slipped by slowly, but I remember that. And I know for some of you, you've lost a dad, or maybe you've never had that experience. So our prayer is that some of the things that you heard today, that the Holy Spirit would not only speak to you during those times, but then help you as a son or daughter relating to a father, or that you take even what Pastor Jeremy just said as far as taking advantage of the father relationships that are right here. I know I've leaned on those in a huge way in these last, you know, 10 years, and I'm grateful. I'm going to ask you to do this. If you would stand with me. And again, I don't know where you're at with all that. I know that some of us, you know, these days are difficult. Some of you watching online, you know, maybe you were even hesitant to connect today because it was a holiday that is difficult for you. My prayer is that not only will it help you, those of you who are fathers, be better fathers, those of you who are, you know, we're all sons or daughters, and if your father is still living, that you would help, you know, that relationship. You know, it's never too late. I know, as Pastor Nick had shared, you know, here he is 40, it's been all these years, and now that relationship is coming around. And for those of you who are dads, I want to just say this. You know, we're all learning as to be fathers and be better fathers. You know, maybe you have some regrets. You know, maybe there's things that you think, God, I would have done it differently. But you can't go change that. But you can change things going forward. I want to pray over us all. Father, I pray just a blessing over every father that's here, every father that's watching online. I just ask that you'd help us as dads to grow, not only in our relationship with you, but our relationship with our kids, with our wives. Father, I pray you would help us to be better dads. I pray for everybody in this room who has a father even still living, that you would help them with that relationship, and it could even get better and better and better. For those of us whose fathers are no longer here, or maybe those who don't have that relationship, I pray, God, you'd help us as we reach out to those father figures that can become better fathers and better relationships with us. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all this day represents. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. For those of you who are dads on the way out, we got something for each of you. This is a Big Daddy-sized dad's root beer. We even have some diet ones if that's for you, or cream soda, and we also have some Slim Jims out there. Be on the same table as the donuts. God bless you. Have a great day out there. This is for you, Pastor Mark.